fighting the good fight of faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
So very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. And if you've been with us this week on Abounding Grace, you know we've been looking at the issue of forgiveness, the issue of reconciliation. And I guess as I study the scriptures as a pastor, I am overwhelmed with just how much emphasis is given to this. Makes sense, of course. If Jesus came down here and went after enemies, pursued those who were his greatest enemies, who did not love him, who had rebelled against him, and he sacrificially gave his life and died on the cross, went through that agony and torment of body and soul to free others from their sin and misery and to forgive them. You can see how offensive it is when somebody says, for a lesser evil, I refuse to forgive my brother. This was such a prominent point of teaching in the Gospels, in the ministry of Jesus. Remember that Peter had come up to him and asked a question. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, please have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Jesus concludes by saying, so my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Well, that is Genesis chapter 32. I mean, here we're seeing what grace does in the life of a believer. Jacob has been a schemer all of his life. Jacob has been a prodigal son. He has been away from the promised land. And finally now, he comes back home. He's coming back to the land. The Lord has promised to be with him. But one of the things that he first has to deal with is his brother. I left off with the story yesterday of the fact that in the Netherlands, a man told me that when two brothers get in a fight, they handle the disputes by refusing to talk to one another. They could sit in the same pew at church. They could go to the same events. They could do everything together, but they refuse any reception of communication. Even the Lord's Supper, they refuse through this whole thing. I've never understood why people don't take seriously the Lord's commands to forgive. How could Christians be like that to a brother if they're claiming the Lord's forgiveness? It doesn't work, does it? And the point of Genesis 32 is showing us that when saving grace indeed comes into one's life, the past is not just over. Turning from the sin means you constantly go and restore damaged relationships before any sort of advancement is made. You know, I said yesterday, if you're wondering why your life has been nothing but conflict with people, you might want to look to the real source of the problem. God does not let us move forward without peace in going through the path of repentance. This is his chosen route. Now, what do we expect at this point? God has brought him out. God has assured him of his presence. Jacob is probably feeling good. The angels are with him. And now in verse 6, he gets hit. Then the messengers return to Jacob saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." That's a small army, isn't it? The next thing we read is Jacob is greatly afraid. The last words we've heard from Esau in Genesis are, "I will kill my brother." 400 men was an army. Now, how's that for doing what's right? You have to put yourself in his shoes for a moment. Is this what doing the right thing produces? Jacob took things into his own hands, but what does he do now? Well, you have the first recorded prayer of Jacob in the Bible. It's an important point. I don't think there's been any prayer by Jacob. Makes sense. How can you pray when things are unresolved? He prays, and what a beautiful thing it exposes that he is right with God. Listen to the beauty of this only extended prayer in Genesis. "Then Jacob said, 'Oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family and I will deal well with you. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I become two companies. Deliver me now, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" Hear the confession there. "I'm not worthy." There's the first sign of a man who's been broken of himself and has turned away from himself. He's getting smaller, isn't he? We never had this before. "Lord, I'm the sinner. I'm worse than Esau. You made promises. Deliver me like you said." What progress, isn't it? So he sets apart these two camps to see if Esau was coming to destroy him. You know what's interesting? The later Jewish writings said about what happened here. This is the book of Jasher, and I just read it for history. It's not inspired, but this is what the Jews believed. The Lord sent three angels of the angels of heaven, and they went before Esau and came to him. And the angels appeared unto Esau and his people as 2,000 men, riding upon horses, furnished with all sorts of war instruments. And they appeared in the sight of Esau and his men to be divided into four camps with four chiefs to them. And this camp ran towards Esau and his people and terrified them. And Esau fell off the horse in alarm, and the whole camp cried out and said, "Surely we are servants of Jacob, who is the servant of God, and who can stand against us?" And when Esau beheld the evil which the four angels had done to him and to his men, he became greatly afraid of his brother Jacob, and he went to meet him in peace. Whether that history is true or not, the fact is the Lord holds the heart. And in verse 22, Jacob arises in the night, and he sends his wives away, female servants, and his son away. And here's the picture. There he is. One of God's sheep in the black wilderness. He's all alone. Everything has been removed from him because of his fear. You ever felt totally alone? That the consequences of your past are beyond what you can bear? What would you expect from God at this point? I've been asking a lot about grace this week. I would expect grace, right? You'd say, sure, Jacob needs grace at this time. Good time for God to come alongside him and sing sweet melodious sonnets just to give him some praise music, right? What would you expect? What do you think you would need from God at this moment? Your life's in danger. Everything you have is gone. You're all alone. You're terrified. What do you need? You would say love and mercy and grace and help. What happens? This is verse 24. "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day." Jacob is alone in the blackness of the night. scared, and someone lays hold of him and assaults him physically. Look, this is scary. Can you imagine being in the middle of the desert all alone, knowing someone's trying to kill you, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, someone lays hold of you, and this is no high school wrestling match. Whoever this is, he's trying to take your life. He knocks him to the ground in fury, the shoving, the pulling, the butting, the gouging, all until morning, a 7-hour fight. Imagine the thirst. Imagine the pain. Everything's come down on him. For whoever this is, he reaches out his hand and he touches Jacob's hip socket. And Jacob goes totally limp. Notice verse 26. All he could do is cling to this man. For the man said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." At the end of this battle, Jacob, with all of his might, is holding on to this man for life. Who was this? It was the angel of the Lord, a theophany. It was the pre-incarnate Christ, manifested himself in the form of a man that day, and Christ met Jacob in the wilderness. Jesus is assaulting Jacob with grace, crippling grace. And right then and there, what did the Lord do? In verse 26, this man says, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" What is your name? In the biblical world, to reveal your name was to reveal your character. Jacob meant deceiver. The Lord here has stripped Jacob of everything. He's taken all of his strength, and now he addresses even his name, and in doing it, he draws out a confession. "My name is Jacob." In other words, "I confess that by nature, I'm a deceitful man, a schemer and a fraud." And right then and there, this man pronounced a new name upon him. "The Lord did this. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." This is transforming grace, dear listener. At its lowest point, "you shall be called Israel." You study the word Israel, there's a lot of debate over its meaning. But Israel means God contended or God prevails. It's not that Jacob or man prevails against God, but that God prevails in wrestling over hard hearts. Isn't that the story of this life? God prevails in changing and transforming sinners' lives so they come to an end of themselves. Jacob was a rebel. His whole life was in his own power. And by the end of it, all he could do was cling. God shattered Jacob's strength. God took every bit of his self-sufficiency away. Jacob's whole life had been a struggle with men, a struggle with his brother, a struggle deceiving his father, a struggle in deceiving Laban. Conflict, conflict. And here he's pictured as finally no strength in himself, clinging to Christ, humbled before God. Grace is crippling grace. And this is what the Lord does. He puts his hand on the source of our pride and dislocates it. And when we realize how weak we are, how unworthy we are, how incompetent, the only thing left we have to do is to cling to Christ. Christianity then is no longer about exercising our rights. It's about showing the humility of Christ. The posture of the Christian is a limping one, not walking in his own strength, but in Christ's. Only when he is broken does the Christian really prevail. God has called you maybe to go through Sarah, to reconcile with someone you need to reconcile. I assure you this, he's ripping away at your hip socket, attacking your strength, because the lower you go, the weaker you are. In that position, dear listener, there, the power of Christ rests upon you. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or go to our website, agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.